Randy, where are you? Okay, yeah, come on, make your way up. So while he's coming up to share his Uber testimony, I've never used that word. I've been in India so long, I forgot my English, so I used it. I just want to make, God is so good. I was really believing that even during worship, God is already touching bodies, touching hearts, touching lives. There was such a moment in that presence. Wow. Wow, I hope you took advantage of it. And even if you didn't, you can still take advantage of what he's doing. And God's, you know, God doesn't pass by once. It's like, oops, I missed my moment. You know what? He loves you so much. He's going to make circles around you until your eyes open to the fact that he's near. It's like, okay, I'd make 10 rounds, 20 rounds, but hey, I'm here. Touch me now. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. He's a God that's passionately after you. And he's passionate about you're what concerns you. And health is a concern. And he's very concerned about that. And so he loves you. Before I start this amazing testimony, I just want to make a reference to something. For specifically retaining the healing, there's a CD out there called Get Healed. And it's 8.5 hours of teaching and testimony. 15 teachings, 5 testimonies of people in the Kansas City area, not just overseas, people in the Kansas City area that were healed of terminal and incurable diseases that are completely healed. And so I would encourage you to get that. And also this book I just published recently, it says Grace, God's Heart Unveiled. It talks about grace, but also talks about how to receive from God and receive healing. I have in here one or two chapters, about 1.5 chapters, about how I was sick with an incurable lung disease for 5 years. And God taught me and he led me to be healed by my own faith. Now, there's different ways you can be healed. You can be healed tonight just because of the corporate atmosphere. And you know what? That's good. I mean, that's great. You can be healed today from someone else's faith. That's great. You can be healed when the anointing comes upon you as we pray. That's great. There's another way you can get healed, and that's by your own faith. And you know what? At some time in our life, we need to learn to do that. I mean, if you're here tonight, I'm believing that everyone that we're going to pray for tonight is going to be touched powerfully, and I believe everyone can be healed tonight. But there is a time and place where we can't always run to places. We have to realize that he is within us and wants to help us. So if that's an interest, I would encourage you to just stop by the merch table. I just learned that this few days. Merch table, short form. So this is my friend, Randy. How long ago did we meet? It's been a long time. It's before I was married, so it's like 10, 11, 12 years or something like that. So this is Randy. He lives in Kansas Overland Park area, and he was healed of a very severe long-term condition. So why don't you just start sharing?
Okay, yes, my name's Randy. Is this, can you hear me okay there? All right, I just didn't know where to place the microphone. Anyway, early 1990s, I graduated from college. I moved to Wichita, Kansas, and got a job there. I'd been there for a few months, and a buddy of mine and I from college came up, and we went bicycle riding. I mean, he and I used to do quite a bit of bicycle riding, say 30, 35 miles at a time, 2 to 3 times a week. And so when he came up on a Saturday, we were going to go for a ride, just kind of going on our own, just having a good time. And toward the end of the ride, I just started getting extremely exhausted. I'm not just talking tired. I mean, like, whenever you feel like you've come down with the flu, exhaustion, tired, very quickly. And it was just unexplained. I didn't know what was going on. I stopped by the roadway and just kind of sat in the shade for a bit. Saw a convenience store down about 1/2 mile. We made it over there, ate something, felt a little better, and made it through the ride okay. But that was the beginning. Fast forward a few months later, I was singing in our church choir on an Easter Sunday morning, full robes and everything. And I had done this many times before in high school, in competition, singing that type of thing. So being in robes, singing in front of people, not a big deal. But I started feeling bad. And when I'm talking about feeling bad, I'm talking about, like, imagine you're, like, this is a glass of water, and all of a sudden someone pulls a cork out of the bottom of it, and all your energy just drops by, like, 80, 90%. That's what I'm talking about. It is severe. I mean, you feel weak, shaky. And I was standing in a choir of about 30 other people, and we were roasting up there. And something was wrong. I went and laid down. Someone had to drive me home. That was the beginning of about a 17-year journey that I had to suffer chronic fatigue. I mean, debilitating fatigue, where I was off work 3 to 4 times on medical leave of absences. I don't want to be on medical leaves of absence. I want to be working and providing for my family. You have to understand that, because I was accused of being a lazy bum. That's another story. But I felt bad enough at times where I had to pack my head in ice packs just to deal with the headaches. I saw 25 to 30 doctors over a period of time.
That's a lot of doctors.
Yeah, and it's just very expensive too. Out of pocket, medical expenses, insurance not covering everything. And so for those who are here who are dealing with long-term struggling pain, struggling things, I want to give you hope. There is a God, because in Isaiah 53, he said he was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. By his wounds, we have been healed. He also paid for our peace. And growing up in the churches that I attended, I knew nothing of that. So going back to a bit.
Yeah, so what was your specific diagnosis, if they had one? What was it?
They finally called it environmental illness.
Uh-huh. This is very common. It's also called multiple chemical sensitivity.
Yes, and it's also chronic fatigue. It's whatever, they can't figure out what's wrong with you. They label it that.
It's like the most severe form of allergies known on the planet, the most extreme.
Yeah, because I couldn't handle wearing synthetic dark clothes. On the bedding, your mattress has foam, rubber, padding and stuff. I had to put down 2 cotton white blankets, and then I could sleep on the mattress. Otherwise, I'd feel bad just from the mattress. I had to be careful about taking a shower. I'd get wet, turn it off, lather up, and then rinse off, just because I couldn't handle the chlorine in the water. Do you know how chilly that is during the wintertime?
So you started getting progressively worse
yes.
with allergies. So how low did you get on food-related allergies?
One of my doctors said, Randy, I think you have food allergies. And I said, no, come on, I can eat anything I want to. So one day, whenever I was on medical leave, I thought, I want to eat some yogurt. It tastes good. So I tasted it, and it tasted great. By the second spoonful, I felt wretched. So I thought, maybe there is something to it. I do have food allergies. And so I started eliminating foods out of my diet so I would feel good. Mm-hmm. And so that was a very strong motivator. So when I started eliminating like mold foods, that's like cheeses, vinegar products, that type of stuff, I started feeling better. I eliminated dairy. And so that was okay. So I was able to get back to work. The problem, though, is I had to keep eliminating foods out of my diet.
So it just got progressively worse.
Down to 10 foods, down to 5 foods, down to 2.
So when we met, you only were eating 2 foods. This is not a joke.
About five foods, because I started.
Okay.
I was able to add in a few foods back. But yes, I was only for about a month and a half, I was only able to eat 2 foods, organic bison, organic green beans. I had no spices on it. I had to drain the juices off the meat because the juices made me feel bad.
And you were losing weight, right?
Yeah, because about 25 pounds in about a month. I wasn't trying to.
Because you couldn't get enough calories from it.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so it was, my life was literally hanging by 2 threads. Do you know how scary that is? I remember weeping. It's like, God, I'm not ready to die yet. I mean, it was severe.
So when was the turning point where, you're down to such a low level, the doctors basically couldn't help you any further? What was the turning point of all that?
I started, was able to introduce a few foods back, was able to get back to work, and so I was able to stabilize my weight. But then I received a letter from a mutual friend of ours telling me about this guy named Robert, who's a Christian missionary, that the letter came from John and Amber. Amber had extreme fibromyalgia, to where she was on pain medication in bed. Robert had prayed with her over a span of about 3 months. She learned to pray for herself, and over a span of about 3 months, she was healed, to the point they went on a mission trip to Africa. And it's like, okay, I've tried everything else. I've tried traditional medicine. I went to a specialty hospital in Texas called Scott and White, the Mayo Clinic of the South. I did acupressure. I tried all these things. nothing helped. It helped maybe for a short period of time, but it didn't, was not the answer. Mm-hmm. So I met Robert over at John and Amber's house. We prayed. What was very interesting is that while he was praying for me, whenever my eyes were closed, I could see an image of a crystal cross. So when your eyes are closed, it's kind of the mostly dark, right? But then I saw this image of the crystal cross. I say crystal because you could see you could see perfectly through it. But the edges, where the edges came together, was just emanating brilliant white light. Mm-hmm. And it was far away, but then it started coming closer and closer toward the end of the prayer. I remember I was at the base of the cross. It was about 3 foot by 3 foot, jutting up very tall above me. But then I told Robert about this, and he said, well, that's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, to simplify it. So right after that, you made some big steps. What was it?
Yes, the very next day, I went to work. Excuse me. So that was a Sunday night. He prayed for me. On a Monday night, after having a full day of work, I had the thought, well, I was prayed for. Maybe I ought to try something. So I tried 4 ounces of tap water. You got to realize, for about the past year before that, I'd been only drinking mint or spring water, bottled water. That's all I could handle. I couldn't handle the stuff in tap water. And so I drank 4 ounces of tap water, and I felt fine. Okay. Then I went for the chocolate chip cookies that John and Amber had sent home with me the night before for my then-wife at the time and also my children to let them enjoy it. Well, I ate about a third of one, had just a slight tinge of headache and fatigue, and then it went away. Well, I started losing. I started blubbering. It's like I think I've been healed. And so then later on that evening, my son brings me a Hershey's Kiss. Mm-hmm. I haven't had one of those like in 2 years by that time. It tasted so smooth and creamy. Then I went for the industrial strength stuff. I had 3 mouthfuls of sour cream and onion potato chips. All kinds of preservatives, you know, artificial stuff. It tasted so wonderful. I had a little bit of headache and fatigue, and then it went away. And called family, friends, my pastor. Next morning, got up. I had a bowl of cereal with milk on it. You know how good that is? But then, that's when I started feeling wretched again. That was one of the worst days of my life at work. I felt horrible. I slogged through the day. Thank God I had no meetings. I had nothing to do that day because I did nothing. I just sat at my cubicle trying to save up enough energy to walk to the bathroom and back to my cubicle without needing to lay on the floor. I called John on my way home from work, and it's like, John, what happened? Did I lose my healing? And I was utterly crushed at this moment. I was just burying my soul. I was utterly crushed. I was hurt and confused. It's like, how can I go from eating stuff and then not and back to nothing? What happened? And John started laughing. He just burst out laughing. And I thought, at that moment, I was angry. It's like, how dare you laugh at my pain? But I didn't understand until he said the very next words. He wasn't laughing at me. He said, Randy, Satan is so predictable. He wants to make you think you've lost your healing. I was like, well, what do I do? And this ticked me off. What do I have to do? He said, say, in the name of Jesus, I bind this sickness. Be gone in Jesus' name. By his stripes, I have been healed. And so I claimed that. And for the next 5 minutes, I did that. After having a wretched day of feeling horrible, I did that for the next 5 minutes because at that time, I ended my drive. I drove into my driveway. I walked into my house. I had pepperoni pizza for the first time that evening in like over 2 years. Wow. With my small group.
Wait, after you prayed for 5 minutes?
For 5 minutes.
All of your symptoms?
All of the symptoms were gone, and mm-hmm. I felt fine, and I was able. So the next 2 weeks, every morning I took a shower. It was a battle. I started feeling rough again after breakfast, but then I kept pushing back in the shower. Every morning, there was a battle for 2 weeks, but it kept getting lesser and lesser and lesser over time till it quit bothering with me. So I wanted to encourage you all. This is a guy who grew up in a traditional church, knew nothing about this, but yet he's so gracious and loving. He gave me this testimony, and he loves you very, very much beyond what you can even comprehend.
So you've been completely healed, symptom-free for how many years now?
12 or so years.
12 years.
Now here's something interesting. Whenever I was walking around the buildings at my work preparing for this, I was just kind of talking out loud, preparing this little testimony. I was trying to recall everything that happening. Guess what had started happening to me? Yeah. I started feeling bad. And so in the name of Jesus, I rebuked it, and then I felt fine. Amen. Satan doesn't want to hear you. He doesn't want you to hear this message. Right. But it's in the Bible. It's in here for generations Amen. After generation.
Right. Amen. Amen. Thank you. So I just want to clarify something. I'll just put it right here. Thank you. You know, you might think, well, is that just psychosomatic? No. There are things that can be psychosomatic. Does that make sense? I'm not ruling that out. Some things can be psychosomatic, but there's a lot of things that are demonic. And I know that this whole thing, the Western world, the very educated West, doesn't like to talk about demons, doesn't like to talk about evil spirits. We like to think that that's all just a mental problem or a mental thing. And it's not the truth. The Bible is the truth. There are evil spirits, and many of them seek to bring doubt, speaks to bring confusion. Many times people are headed to, I can't tell you how many people call me and say, I was headed to the healing meeting. I planned to come today, but I felt really horrible, so I stayed home. Yeah. I'm like, that's exactly what the devil wanted to do, is to discourage you, and you ended up staying home rather than taking a step of faith. And the enemy is real. There is a real enemy that's a spirit, and he has the ability to afflict the body. But the good news is Jesus is the healer, and he's greater. And actually, us in Christ, we are greater than him too in Christ. And so, isn't that awesome? We just thank Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And not only that, Randy has prayed for many people. He's now passionate. He goes around praying for people, and he's seen many people healed himself. And so, see, this is a great thing. When you become a testimony, you produce testimonies. Right. See, when I got healed of my lung disease, I had no intention of becoming a ministry. I was just selflessly thinking, God, I don't want this pain anymore. But guess what? He goes beyond what he just wants to give you, and he provides you with light and hope to the world around you. And that is what he wants to do. You know, God sees you, and he wants to heal you, wants to manifest that, but he sees beyond that into the multitudes that he can touch through your lives. So it's not just you being healed, it's you impacting the world around you through the healing. I can tell you, I can come up to so many people and say, can I tell you about Jesus? And most people in America are probably like, no. But you know what? If I go up to someone and say, you know what? I had an incurable lung disease and I was supernaturally healed. You want to hear it? They're like, yeah. I mean, very few people will like, they're very interested. Their curiosity perks up. Why? Because you're not just talking spiritual language. You're showing and you're telling the reality of a God who lives and moves among us. And it changes everything. So anyways, let's get ready for the message here. Pray with me. Just say, Holy Spirit, I love you. Speak to me. Stir my heart. Pull down lies. I receive, and prepare me to receive more. In Jesus' name. Amen. So this whole theme for this conference, this has been so juicy and yummy. Oh my goodness. If you weren't here in the morning, it was like, what do we call it? It was a caramel jacuzzi, okay? it was actually amazing. Like, oh my. So the whole theme is upon us. And that's a theme that we've been talking about. If you haven't attended all the sessions, it says, the scripture says, the Holy Spirit comes upon us. It's different than being in us. It comes upon us for a purpose. And I love how Grant summarized it this morning. The Holy Spirit is in you for you, but he's on you for others. And the Spirit of God came upon Jesus. And when we talk about the Holy Spirit, there's many ways that the New Testament calls him various names. He's not just the Holy Spirit, he's also called the Spirit of Grace. And in Romans 8:2, he's called the Spirit of Life. Oh my goodness. You know what sickness is? It's death. We say, well, not really. Yeah, you get sick enough, you die. If an organ in your body is diseased enough, it dies. Sickness is a form of death. You can sum up everything that sin and Satan does as death, and you can sum up everything that Jesus does as life. Peace is life. Hope is life. Healing is life. Health is life. Strength is life. And he's called the Spirit of Life. And the Spirit of Life came upon Jesus so that life would flow through him to multitudes. And so why did the Holy Spirit come upon Jesus? There's three things right here. I just want to pop up. Can you talk about it? He came, one, to reveal the Messiah. That's pretty obvious. But number two, it's even deeper. And we're going to talk about this tomorrow morning if you're coming to if you're going to be here tomorrow morning. He's a model for us. Jesus came as a model for us, that we, the sons and daughters of God, we would see Jesus and know how we should ourselves walk in the Spirit. And number three, which is what I really want to nail tonight, nail really down, is this. The Spirit of God was on Jesus. Why? To reveal the will of the Father. Jesus is a letter, a living letter of the Father communicating his tender heart towards us. That was really good. I like that quote. I just thought of it was the Lord. So listen, we're gonna. Can you hand me my bottle of water, beautiful? This is my beautiful wife, by the way. Hi. Woo woo! Yeah. All the way from India. And so we're going to turn to Luke chapter 5, verses 17, and we're going to go through a story of the way Jesus heals. And you know what? When I go through these stories, there's so many rich things that we can learn. And I believe that there's things that we can learn that can position us to better receive what God has for us. And so we're going to read this story. And in verse 17, it's going to be up on the monitors here, is the Passion Translation. I just found out that, you know, I've been in India so long, I'm oblivious to everything. I'm like, oh, there's a new translation, I just realized. And I like it. So we're going to go with it. So it says, one day, many Jewish religious leaders, known as Pharisees, along with many religious scholars, came from every village of Galilee throughout Judea and even from Jerusalem to hear Jesus teach. And the next portion of that scripture. Shoot it up. And it says, and the power of the Lord surged through him to instantly heal. I want you to hear that. Wherever Jesus was present, there was power within him, on him, surging through him. I like that word, surging through him. It's just flowing. It's ready to move. It's active. There was energy and power in him, divine power, to instantly heal. You know what? I've seen instant healings. I've seen literally tumors instantly dissolved. I've seen blind eyes instantly opened. But you know how I got healed through my faith? It took about 6 to 7 months, and all my symptoms just went, and it finally went away. You know what? If you're instantly healed, or it takes a few days, a few weeks, guess what? You're still healed. Praise God. So don't get tripped up upon that. But you know what? You know what? Listen to me. This is very important. I've learned this over 12 years of doing this, okay? If you believe for 12 weeks healing, you're more likely going to get a healing that takes you longer. If you believe for an instant healing, you're more likely to get quickly healed quickly. It's kind of like you set the parameter. I mean, God can move beyond it, but you know what? God usually respects our faith. He usually doesn't go beyond it, but he can at times. And so what I'm trying to say right here is you can, I would say, expect to be instantly healed. Expect it. But you know what? If you still have to walk out some things like Randy did, hey, praise God, no problem. He's 12 years completely healed. I'm 8 years completely healed. Praise God. So I just want to jump in there. And I want to share a story. Wherever, it says, where Jesus was, the power of the Lord surged through him. You know what? Jesus is physically not here. Actually, he is. He's in all of us. But, you know, just like Grant taught this morning. But physically, he's not in one body on the earth traveling around anymore. But let me say this. In his name, Faith in his name, power surges. In his presence, power surges. There was a surging of power this morning. Oh, it was really good, that caramel jacuzzi. And so I want to share with you a testimony of we were in northern India. If you don't know me, I've been a resident of India for 14 years. I just realized that's a long time. And so I traveled to some other nations short term, and we were in northern India, and the Lord led us to go to this village that's primarily a Muslim village, and we had to be more careful, you know, use wisdom, but do go. And so we were going there. It's about a 3-hour drive, and on my way there, I was talking to the Holy Spirit. I said, Holy Spirit, talk to me. I want to know what you want to do. And so he showed me this vision, like a medical textbook. Have you ever seen those? My dad went to medical school, so I would like flip through his, you know, his books at times, and they would show, like, it was almost like you could see like the bones, the you know, the cartilage, you know, it was all kind of there, and you could see how the body looked inside. And so I saw a picture like that of the neck, and I could see the neck and the bones and the discs and all the muscles around it, and I could see, and I could literally count in the vision the third disc from the bottom, like, you know, from the bottom up, like right there, I could see it was compressed, and I saw this red, like, radiating pain coming out of it. And I'm like, Lord, that's really specific. And he's like, it's going to get more specific. He's like, that's a 19-year-old young man who has this problem. And I thought, Lord, I like the more general words, like, oh, there's someone here who has pain, you know? So I can't really miss it, you know what I mean? Like out of 400 people, someone here has back pain. I know I'm going to get several hundred. Does that make sense? I kind of got nervous. And you know what? That's fine. It's fine. You know what? You can be nervous, but you can be nervous and still act in faith. You can still be attacked by thoughts of doubt and choose to believe. See, what the devil wants to do is he wants you to feel something, think something, and he wants you to disqualify yourself even before you actually have done anything to do that. You can still choose faith in the midst of the storm. And so anyways, I go to the meeting. And so I'm like, well, if I'm wrong, I never have to come back to this village. Randy don't have that privilege. So that's another good thing why you need to travel, you know. So I stand up and I'm like, there's a 19-year-old young man here, and you have this pain. I'm getting very detailed right here. You have pain. Stand up. And he stood up, and I was more shocked out of anyone there. I was like, oh, my goodness, he actually is here. Oh, so that was good for me. And so I was just like, the Lord heal you. That's all I said. He's like, oh, he was healed instantly. I'm like, this is a good start. And so the Lord showed me another thing with a woman with a stomach problem. She stood up, and I was like, Lord, heal you. And she had demon manifest. She's like, and doing all sorts of weird stuff. And everyone around, you know, there's 600 people there in the village, and they're like, whoa, what's going on? And she was getting delivered. And I just said, if you need healing, stand up right now. This is fun. So the whole, like out of 600 people, 598 stood up. You know, that's how it is in India. They're not bashful like us, you know. And so this was December in northern India, and it gets pretty chilly there. Everyone there had, like, coats on, you know, thick jackets. It probably was in the lower 40s. And when you're sitting on concrete, you know, it's cold, okay? And so she had this heavy sweater on, and there's a lady there who had breast cancer. And she previously had breast cancer before this day, and in her one side of her, I don't remember if it was left or right, but she actually went and got a mastectomy, is that what it's called, where they completely removed it in hope to get all the cancer. And she was like fine for a number of, I think it maybe had been a few months or maybe a year. And then the cancer came back in her other breast, and she had tumors that she could feel. She was in pain, and there was swelling. And when she stood up, what it said, stood up, we didn't even know who she was. We didn't know, but God knows. God knows, and he sees. And we just started praying. I said, in the name of Jesus, healing, power, flow, out. And so guess what? In the name of Jesus, power surges. Heaven's power surges in the name and the presence of Jesus. And all of a sudden, she felt this incredible heat come over her whole body. She starts extremely perspirating to the point where her whole shirt and everything is covered in sweat. And then, you know, God was moving. And at the end, I'm like, well, if you've been instantly healed, come forth. And so Abilasha was there with me. And she started, you know, testing these people before we had them testify. That's why you test them first, so they're proper testimonies, amen? And she came up and she said, I'm completely healed. And she says, how do you know? She's like, I had tumors I could feel. I had swelling and pain. All the pain's gone. All the swelling's gone. And the tumors are not there. Yeah. Okay, if you're not excited, you need to go and get a coffee and put a whole bunch of sugar in it, okay? Oh, that is Jesus. That is Jesus. The same Jesus that we're reading about here hasn't changed. What has changed? Our thinking and our believing and our religious practices. That's the only thing that's changed. He has not. And God wants, Jesus wants to be that to you tonight. Oh, I get so excited when I think about Jesus. So the power of the Lord surges through. It surged through his physical body then because he was physical on the earth. But his power surges today whenever faith is taken in his name. It surges in his presence that is spiritually manifest right now. So we're going to jump to verse 18 and 19. And so and many of you know the story, but let's just read through it. And it says, some men came to Jesus carrying a paralytic man on a stretcher. And they attempted to bring him in past the crowd to set him in front of Jesus. You know, it's so different. I've lived and ministered in Eastern culture for a long time, and they have a much different mentality than the West. See, many people in America, you know, you might be sitting here, you might have like a headache, you might have like chronic back pain, but this will give an example. Someone comes up in a wheelchair, and then the altar call time comes, and people are like, oh, I'm not going to go up. That person needs healing more than me. And then you end up just sitting there and going home without receiving prayer because you consider other people more needy than you, which in one way can be respectful. But let me tell you this, that's not good. God wants to heal you regardless. Does that make sense? He's not just fixated upon the person who has the most problems. He's fixated upon everyone because he loves everyone. But that's our mentality. It's like, well, you go. Oh, I'll wait, you go. That's not how it is in Eastern culture. They're like, forget you, get out of my way. And they just like rush ahead. Honestly, I've been tackled by crowds of people, and people literally, I'm praying, and these people are surrounding me, and they're pulling my arm and saying, pray for me. I was like, what are you doing? I'm still praying for this person. You know, I think that's what's happening here. There was this huge crowd around this home. There were people pushing each other out of the way to look into the window to see Jesus. There was a crowd there pushing through the door to try to look in. And they bring this paralytic guy in. They're like, can you please move to the side? And they're like, no. I mean, obviously, right? And they're like, no. I came here first come, first serve. I want to hear what Jesus. I have a problem too. Let me tell you something. God is never your hindrance. So many times we think, well, you know, if God wants to touch me, he knows my address. Or, you know, and we just kind of put everything off on God. God is not your hindrance. You are not trying to convince God that he loves you enough to heal you. You're not trying to convince God that you really need a healing in your life because you can't manage it anymore. Does that make sense? Your hindrance is never from God. Your hindrance is oftentimes from man. People will say, you're going to a healing meeting tonight. I mean, people could say that to you. Someone could say, why are you doing that? You know, if God wants to heal you, can heal you right here. Why would you need to go someplace? You know what I mean? Man can say anything to you to try to discourage you, especially people when they've been diagnosed very strongly from a doctor. They say, oh, how are you really feeling? I believe God's healing me and God's with me. No, tell me how you're really feeling. It's like, they're trying to convince you what the devil thinks rather than what God wants to convince you of. And this is what's happening here in a different way. Man is like, no, we're not going to move aside. We could care less. We came here to see Jesus. And guess what they did? They go up. Oh, we did it? Where are we at? Woo, we got to go ahead. We're going to go. Oh, I'm there? Okay, thank you. Thank you, Pastor Andy. But because there were so many people crying at the door, they had no way to bring him in. So they crawled on top of the roof. I love this. Dug their way through the roof tiles and lowered the man, stretcher and all, into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. I've lived in homes in northern India that you could do that with. I mean, you could literally do that. You know, the way homes in America are built is like, that would not work. There's too much insulation. But what did they do? They were tenacious. See, faith does not give up. The nature of faith perceives Jesus' willingness, Jesus' mercy, Jesus' compassion, and says, I'm not going to give up. You know what? I've had many people pray for me before I was healed, and I was discouraged. I'm like, nothing's happening. But you know what? I chose not to give up. You know, my pastor, Ben, he said something to me once. He said, God cannot direct a ship that's anchored. But even if it's going in the wrong way, he can redirect it. And that is why the scriptures say, seek and you will find, ask and it will be given, and knock and it will be opened. And actually in the Greek, it's a present tense continuous action verb, which means keep on seeking and do not stop and you will find. See, the seeking is not God looking at his clock and looking at his work-so-meter or performance meter and saying, keep going. I'm not satisfied yet. You need to run a little harder. Keep going. That's not for him. And that is what the church has been deceived into thinking, that we have to perform and do certain amount of thing before God would move. No, the seeking is on our part so that we would position ourselves to receive. Yeah. It's not for God, it's for us. And you know what? I just kept on seeking. I'm stubborn by nature. And you know what stubbornness is? In godly terms, perseverance. You know, if you've ever been called a stubborn person, to say, I'm perseverance for Jesus. I mean, that's what the good flip side of it is. Amen? And I just refuse to give up. And then you finally find the position of faith. You finally see his face that has been willing to give, and you receive. And these people refuse to give up. And I would encourage everyone here, don't count the number of times you've been praying or asking. Keep pressing in. And that's what they did. And they put the man in front of Jesus. You know what is your hindrance? It's not from God. It's our own doubt and unbelief. It is the voice of the enemy that comes to our own mind in thoughts and in emotions. And it's also the voice of the enemy through people that we know that will speak discouragement to you. And that's what they press beyond. And so must we. Surely that man on the stretcher must be like, you're going to carry me up on there? Let's do it. What do I got to lose? I'm already paralyzed. I mean, you can't fall over and get double paralyzed. I mean, come on. You got to think about it. So some people said, well, they probably pulled him up there against his faith. No. No. You understand? He was like, come on, let's do it. Is there any way in? Let's do it. They refused to give up. And I'll tell you this. If you refuse to give up, you will find God. You will find him. I know people that will get one prayer and they're like, well, that's it. I prayed once and, you know, they prayed for me and I, you know, if God wanted to heal me, I'm healing. That is really, let me tell you, that is laziness. Yeah, I'll make 30 doctor's appointments and 15 rounds of chemo and, you know, dialysis every day for the rest of my life. I'll make all those appointments, but I can't make a healing service or I can't, you know, make this. You know what? Seek and you will find. He who believes in the Lord will never be put to shame. That also is a present tense continuous action verb in the Greek. He who continues to believe and does not refuse and refuses to give up, he shall never be disappointed. Amen? Amen. So right here, so we see this. And so they put them in front of Jesus. They open the roof. And let's jump to verse 20. It says, seeing the demonstration of their faith. Wow. Jesus said to the paralytic man, my friend, your sins are forgiven. It says Jesus sees their faith. You know what? Jesus sees our faith. Amen. You know, it might be, it feels weak to you, but he sees it very clearly. Amen. See, faith, what was their faith that Jesus saw? Faith does what? Say with me these three things. Put it up. Faith, number one, perceives Jesus's compassion, mercy, and kindness. See, faith sees. It sees something. It sets its sight upon it, and it goes after it. Number two, it refuses to give up. You know, it hopes all things. It endures all things. Hope and faith does not give up. And number three, it does what? Faith denies the limits of medical silence and declares God is greater. It declares God is greater. You are not bound by what doctors have said. I have seen a child in India born with deformed feet who never stood or walked for 10 years, from birth to 10 years of age, and God recreated his bones, joints, and I wish I could see the anatomy pictures on that before and after. And there he's walking, a Muslim boy. Isn't that awesome? Whole family's following Jesus now. I didn't have to open the Bible and be like, okay, this is what the Bible says. This is what the Quran says. And you know, I didn't have to do that apologetic stuff. You just go, bam, Jesus is real. And they're like, oh, okay. And they follow him. That's the kind of evangelism I like. Okay, so God is good. Let me say this. Faith is not hard. The devil wants to convince you that faith is hard. Faith is a choice. When those thoughts of doubts comes to my mind, I have a choice. No, I'm going to say no to you. I'm going to say yes to faith. When people say, come up and we're going to receive prayer, and your mind says, you've already got prayed for 10 times and nothing happened. You say, no, I'm making a choice. I say no to you, discouragement. I say yes to prayer. Does that make sense? It's a choice. Sometimes we attach so much of it. Well, faith is a super shaky emotion, and you know, you just, you know, no. I mean, that can be, oops, what's going on? Okay, that can be involved in faith at times, but that's not faith. Faith is a choice to align your heart with Jesus. That's all it is. Sometimes we think, well, they have big faith. No, it's this choice. But it looked big in our eyes. Okay, we're going to jump to verse 21 here. Okay, so Jesus said, he said, son, your sins are forgiven. So he's coming down to get healed, you know. And Jesus responds, he says, hey, your sins are forgiven, which is an amazing, amazing thing. It probably made the guy think, that's great, but that's really not why I'm here, you know. Who knows what was going through his head? We don't know. But all of a sudden, that caused the rubbing of the wrong way in the mind of the religious people. And it says right here, the Jewish religious leaders and the religious scholars whispered objections among themselves. Who does this man think he is to speak such blasphemy? Only God can forgive sins. Who does he think? Does he think he's God? You know what they were doing? They were reasoning. In another translation, I think it's the New King James, it says they reasoned among themselves. Let me tell you something that's very, very, very important, and I've learned over the years. Never go into reasoning. Reasoning is an intellectual exercise of your brain, and it never involves faith. I have a statement right here. Can we bring it up? Faith does not reason. Okay, like Moses could be standing for there. Okay, God, there's this huge sea and I'm supposed to split it open. You know, he could reason forever, but reasoning will not split the sea. Faith will. You know, Jesus is standing in front of the tomb and people are like, well, how's a guy that's like rotten for 4 days is going to get new eyeballs? But you know what? It's faith that Jesus spoke that caused Lazarus to come out of the grave. See, faith does not reason. However, faith is not unreasonable. See, the devil wants to get you to reason about your conclusion, and he wants to keep you into the intellectual realm. But faith does not do that. Faith is not unreasonable because the God who created all things is alive and he's for you. Faith is not unreasonable because Jesus, full of compassion and mercy, it says that by his wounds you were healed. How? I don't know, but you're going to be healed. How is my lungs healed? I don't know, but I'm healed. How is his, you know, Randy's immune system? You also had an immune system. It affected your immune system too. Mine was also affected. How did your immune system get healed? I don't know, but I'm healed. See, you got to focus upon faith and not reason. And I've noticed in my life, whenever I go into reason and I try to operate in reasoning and I even pray according to reasoning and I think according to reason, I'm never in faith and I don't see things happen. And as long as these people were reasoning, they weren't seeing any miracles. Let me say that. The religious people were there reasoning. And I believe that many of them they had problems. Many of them probably had demons. Many of them had issues. Many of them were probably sick and had pain in their body. And they reasoned, and they missed Jesus. But the people who didn't have reasoning, there's like this rip open the roof and throw them down and chose faith, they walked away with a miracle. Does that make sense? The devil, as soon as you come up, you may say you've had this or that, or the doctor said, well, your disc is like destroyed on this side and it's lopsided and blah, blah, blah. The devil wants to say, how's that going to happen? How's that going to happen? And he wants to streamline your thinking to reason. And as soon as you go down that path, you're out of faith. Because doubt comes in right when you have reason. It's a good word, Robert. Thank you. I agree with myself. Okay, verse 23. And it says, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said to them, why do you argue in your hearts over what I do and think that it is blasphemy to say his sins are forgiven? Let me ask you, which is easier to prove? When I say, your sins are forgiven, or when I say, stand up, carry your stretcher, and walk. So, you know, I'm just going to quickly explain the situation. Jesus was God in the flesh, but these people did not yet know that Jesus was God in the flesh. They just thought he was an anointed teacher, a great prophet, you know, a man that God worked miracles through. Honestly, if I was in their place and I was reasoning, I would have come to the same conclusion, like, what? How could God be in the flesh? Does that make sense? And so they were just reasoning. And Jesus, you know, says this question. I love the question Jesus said. Which is easier? And which is easier? Tell me. It's a double-edged question. What is it? Which one's easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or you know, stand up and walk. How many people's brains are turning a little bit right here? Like, I never thought about that. Well, actually, both require divine action. Both are completely dependent upon God. But visibly, one is easier than the other. Hindus say, go into this river, dip in there, and you'll be cleansed of all your sins. Buddhists will say, walk around this temple in this direction 7 times, and your karma is going to shoot through the roof, and you're going to be in nirvana before you know it. You know what I mean? Anyone can say something that you're forgiven and you're blessed when there's no physical evidence to prove otherwise. But when you have someone who's paralyzed or can't walk, you say, stand up and walk. Guess what? It's either going to happen or it's not going to happen. And so that is, you know, having the healing ministry that the Lord has given me, and I believe he's giving it to everyone, so I'm not saying I'm special. But, you know, walking in the healing ministry, you know, some people can say, give a good message, and it's like, whoa, that was a good message. But for me, and most of what I do, I have to see something or I walk away saying, that wasn't a good service. Does that make sense? I have to see at times blind eyes open, deaf people hear, crippled people walk, people with incurable conditions heal, because this type of ministry is black and white and there's no gray. And that's what Jesus was doing. He just said, well, which is easier? Well, I'm going to prove to you I'm the Son of God by how? I'm going to show you my ability to forgive, but my power to heal. And it said he turned to the paralytic man and said, what? I'm waiting for the slide to go. Can you shoot the slide? To prove to you all that I, the Son of Man, have a lawful authority on earth to forgive sins, I say to you now, stand up, carry your stretcher, and go to your home, for you are healed. Boom, next verse. In an instant, the man rose before their eyes. He stood, picked up his stretcher, and went home, giving God all the glory with every step he took. Verse 26. The people were seized. I love that word. People were seized with astonishment and dumbfounded over what they had witnessed. And they all praised God, remarking over and over, incredible. What an unbelievable miracle we've seen today. And you know, that is my expectation for tonight. That people will walk away seeing themselves or seeing someone they know. It's like, praise God. He is moving within our midst. But I want to make a big clarification here. The people that were reasoning, especially the religious leaders, they were seized with amazement over someone else's healing, not their own. But the person who walked in faith, they received their own healing. Do you see the difference right there? The people who reasoned saw miracles but did not receive one. The people who were in faith received one. They came to Jesus in expectation. Thank you, Lord. I want to show you some pictures here of just some recent miracles in the last, last year that I've been overseas. Can we shoot up the first picture? Is it there? Oh, it doesn't come up on my screen. Okay, sorry about that. So we were in near the Pakistan border, and so they brought this boy to the meeting. Because, you know, when we have healing meetings, people actually really are excited, and they come in droves. Because they're just open to the spiritual things. I mean, that's easy for them to be deceived, but it's also easy for them to be opened up to the truth as well. And so they brought this boy to me, and he was born deaf and mute. Well, some of the times they're not mute, but because they've never heard, they're mute because they just never have heard sound, so it's impossible basically for them to speak. And so right before I prayed for him, I had the people there. I'm like, let's test him before we pray. And so I had him look in this direction. I'm behind him going, you know, making as loud a sounds as I could, and there was nothing. Like, he couldn't hear anything. And I'm like, okay, we're going to pray right now. I wish, you know, I need to hire a professional cameraman somehow at times to, you know, travel with me or something. We used to do that. He's back there going. I placed my hands on his ears. And I said, in the name of Jesus, deaf ears open here right now in Jesus' name. Like, it was like that simple. In the name of Jesus, power surges. Surges. Instantly, his ears were opened, and he's like, you can see his face. Like, he's like, you know, he's not able to really know how to express it, but you can tell he's like wigging out. And so we stood behind him, and we would clap like 3 times, and he would say how many times clearly he can hear it, and he could hear sounds so clearly. So right after that, we took his picture. They're really non-emotional because he's villagers. They're not really around white people. And then also getting their picture taken, they kind of freeze sometimes. But this guy, he was just instantly healed right there, 15 years old. It was just amazing. Just recently, I was at The Rock a few weeks ago, and there was a lady that I know there in her late 50s, and she had hearing aid in her right ear. And she came up to me and said, I need you to pray for me for having this hearing aid on for 2 years. I don't want to wear it anymore. I'm like, let's get rid of it right now. So people are like, well, how's that going to happen? That's reason. Don't go there. And so we just prayed right there. Literally within 2-3 minutes, she can hear every word from I'm saying clearly in a large room, which is harder to hear, 15, 25, and 30 feet away. And she's never put it back on. She says, I'm completely healed. You know, it can be that simple. That simple. Let's throw the next slide up. So, this one blew my top off, okay? So we were in Taiwan. Oh my goodness, Taiwan is an amazing place. It's the friendliest country I've ever been to, and amazing people. And so this is the last day of ministry there. We were there for about 12 days ministering. And this girl in the pink was from birth in her, hold on, it would be her left eye. Her left eye was completely blind. She's never seen out of her left eye and never been able to see, read. I mean, like if you put a huge light to her eye, you could see, maybe she'd see some fragments of light, you know, but she hasn't been able to see anything, nothing. And we prayed and she's like, can you, and that's her mom right there, the one crouching down next to her. And she said, can you pray for her? I'm like, sure, let's go after this thing. You know, why would, you know, what's the worst that can happen? What's the worst? You come up in here and you walk away and like, okay, I'm not better. You know, I've met people that have gone to the doctor and they're like, it's going to be a simple surgery. And they walk out like blind and worse. I've seen stuff. And it's like, and it costs them money too. Guess what? This is free. Oh, why would you not take advantage of it? So it just blows my mind. And so this, you know, she's like, can we pray? And I was like, let's pray right now. And so this guy's the translator there on beside me. And so I'm just like, I put my hand over her eyes and we all lay our hands on her. It's not just me. We all lay our hands on her. And we're just like, in the name of Jesus, we command blindness to go. We command the blind eye to see. See, I don't know all the intricate parts of the eyes and the nerves and everything. I just say, Jesus, blind eye, see. See, that's what faith says. Reasoning says, well, look, every single tiny little detail, Holy Spirit, you know. Does that make sense? The more simple you become, sometimes the more effective your faith is. And we pray, blind eye, see. We remove our hands. She says, I can see. I can see. And she started counting my fingers from like 10, 15 feet away. But she said, it's all really dark. It's like, I can see your hand, but it's so dark I can barely see. But I can see now. Does that make sense? And so like, well, praise God, but this is not the end. We pray a second time. All we did was pray twice. We prayed the second time. We took her hands off. She said, it's completely, she was doing this. She was literally doing this. She said, everything is completely equal in her sight. Oh! Jesus is still in their, you know, business. You know, someone posted a thing on Facebook and it showed a post of, you know, man creates stem cell research to, you know, first paralyzed man to regain, you know, movement through stem cell research. And I just commented below it. I've seen that for free many times. Hey, Jesus. And, you know, it's great. You know, technology's great. Take advantage of it. It's not a bad thing. But you know what? Jesus wants to get glory because ultimately the doctors get glory for that. God doesn't. Let's go to another one. Oh, this lady right here. Yeah, they're those villagers. Like sometimes they're like, you get two expressions from villagers in India when they get healed. They're either off the wall, uber like joyful and they're like losing it, or they're like stoic because they're never really around technology. So this lady was in horrible condition for 5 to 6 years. She had in her lower back, somewhere around here, a compressed disc that went not outside but inside, pressing upon her spinal cord. Does that make sense? It was going inward. That's what they explained to me. And she was in incredible pain. She went to, we were in that village where we were doing ministry, but she went to the capital, which is about a 5-hour drive, and she went to, you know, to check about surgery, what's the options. And the doctor's like, it's going to cost this many thousands of dollars. And they're like, it's very risky because it's pressing in towards the inside of your spinal cord. So they're going to have to go like very invasive surgery. And they're like, all that you have to sign off on all these things that you could technically be paralyzed, you know what I mean, and all this stuff. And so they came back, their poor villagers are like, let's have someone pray for us. So this is, they're Sikhs. They were Sikhs, and so they came to us because the pastor was there. I was just hanging out. We weren't doing ministry. I was just hanging out drinking tea at his home, and these people showed up, and they're like, she needs a miracle, and she walked up like this. This is literally how she walked. I'm not joking. It took her forever to get there. Like, she was walking like this, like, so slow and such in pain, and we just like, you know what? Jesus wants to heal you right now. We didn't preach Jesus first. We didn't share the gospel first. It's like, let's let Jesus be Jesus, then we'll share the gospel with him. And so we're like, you're going to be healed right now. We place our hand on our back. We command healing about 45 seconds, and we're like, walk and see how you are. And she's like walking like pretty good. She's like walking back and forth. And she's actually shocked. And I'm like, how are you feeling? She's like, 80% of it's basically gone. I can't believe it. And we're like, come back over here. Pray again. We're like, walk. And she's like walking completely normal back and forth. She's like moving, you know, bouncing down like that. We're like, how is it now? She's like, all the pain's gone, but the muscles around there, I guess, are still tight. I'm like, tight muscles loose, you know? And literally all the muscles, everything was completely gone, and she was 100% healed. She was just dumbfounded. She's like, what is going on? And then we sat her down and shared the gospel with her, and her whole family and extended family have come to Jesus through that. Yeah. That's called a good tea at a pastor's home. Amen. So this is the point where we're going to do this. Enough talk, time to do. And we're not alone. The power of the Lord is surging in this place. It was surging this morning. Ooh, it was that Carmel jacuzzi. So if you're on the prayer team, I'm going to have you come up. Okay? I'm going to give just a little bit of instruction. But if you're on the prayer team, come up to the front and just kind of make yourself visible. Spread out just a little bit. So these people have received training. We just had a training last Monday. Everyone, 3 out of 3 people in the training got healed. That's a good start to a training. And we're ready to minister to you. Amen. So let me just give some instruction to the prayer team. We're going to do words of knowledge first, and we're going to have them come up. While I minister to them over the mic, you can lay your hands on them as well and agree. Does that make sense? And if you guys have anything, come on up here in a minute. I'm going to share one testimony of kind of what a word of knowledge is. So there's one more picture here. Where is this at? This blew my socks off. Okay, run back there faster, faster, faster. This one blew my socks off. So this was in Taiwan. So before we had healing services, they had me busy from like 9 in the morning to 10 at night. I'm like, make me busy. And then afterwards, they're like, I need a day of break. So they had us nonstop. So this was one of the evening services. We had like 400 or 500 Taiwanese people come. And before the service, I was just praying. And I was like, Lord, show me someone you want to heal. I mean, I just don't want to speak a message and just be like, okay, pray. I want to hear you. And the Holy Spirit said, there will be a man there who has pain in his neck. And I said, Lord, that's too... like, that's not specific enough. Out of 500 people, there's going to be several people there with pain. Does that make sense? I was like, you kind of got to be more specific. And he said, it's a man, and he's had treatment and surgery already prior on his neck. And I was like, oh, that's pretty specific. So anyways, I went with it. So before I preached even, I said, there's a man here, you've had treatment and surgery on your neck, and it's still in pain, and you have complications, stand up. This man right there in the left, he stood up way in the back, and I just said, Jesus, heal you now. Sit down. And so he sat down, just like that. And so this is the second day of the healing meeting. He comes up before, you know, I even have a chance to speak after worship. And he starts sharing his testimony. And he says, I have had chronic, horrible pain on my neck for 12 years. He's actually... like, he wanted to do ministry. He was in Bible school, and he had to drop out of Bible school because his neck was in such excruciating pain. And he had 9 surgeries on his necks in 12 years, still no better. But the moment that word was released, he said, I'm completely healed. All the pain is gone, and Jesus has 100% healed me. Oh! Like, that's one that I keep in my mind. I'm like, 9 surgeries? Jesus. So you might even be here and you'd be like, you know what, I've been to doctors, they've cut me up, they've, you know, they've put this in and took this out. How is Jesus going to heal? He can do it. He can do it. So I have just three.